Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it. So obviously, I'm back this week.
Yes.
First thing, had a family emergency, so I had to take the week off. Thank you so much to Matt for filling in. He did a fantastic job, and okay, well, I was going to speak for both of us, but I guess I'm just going to speak for me.
I enjoyed having Matt on the podcast.
I absolutely want Matt on the show more, so I think he should move him and his family closer to Burlington because...
For the specific reason of being able to
be on the podcast more
frequently.
Because if there's anything, when it comes to our group of friends, is like... We're like, me and Joel are like a disease. We start things and then we slowly like...
Get everybody else to do it.
Right. Wrestling and hopefully not Burlington.
I still maintain, this is very, very pompous of me, but I still maintain it was all me. Because how long did you sit and watch wrestling by yourself before I got back into it?
I mean... Technically, I was never by myself. It was always Jason,
you had a college roommate
who
was dismissive of you. And I would assume, did you have a college roommate before that college roommate who was equally as dismissive
wrestling
viewing?
All of my previous college roommates were outside of our friend group.
They were
either like friends that I had in a different group or someone I was just paired up with. That was the first time we had someone that was in our group.
Right.
So that's why, and it was one of those things where our room, oh God, we're just going to get into our history here, which is fine. It's still wrestling related.
It is.
Our room, the one at the far end, was always like the social room.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no matter who was in it, the door was always propped open. Anyone could jump,
It was Chris's room.
Yeah.
And it was just a big hangout room.
Yeah.
Except for Monday nights at 9 o'clock when Chris would turn on wrestling. And I was like, we're going to go to some other room.
Well, no.
Because you're done wrestling's on.
I would have it on. And usually you guys, I maybe not so much you, because you got into it.
Mm-hmm.
Not early on, but eventually.
Again, it was very specifically because we were playing video games on a TV different from what you were watching.
Right.
And they're like, Bret Hart's going to be on. I was like, why are you watching a rerun of it? It's 20 years old.
And that was the way it worked with a lot of our friends is they would come over, play video games, and I'm like, I'm going to watch wrestling. And they're like, yeah, okay, we're just going to play Battlefront. Which, you know, you don't need that much, like, audio cues or anything to play Battlefront.
Right.
So that's why I was like, I think there was a few times I actually did have headphones in. And... As people slowly got more interested in it, I unhooked the headphones and let everybody listen. And I like
how your version of the story is how you had it as a presence that slowly drew everybody in. And my version of the story is that you sadly watched it alone in the corner while we all had fun
also,
over here until I started watching and then everybody followed me.
Also, I think there was a little bit of bribery involved because that was in the days of declining balance and we could order Papa John's through it.
I
offered to buy Pizza Hut. Not Pizza Hut, Papa John's.
Yes.
This isn't a plug. not that it matters. Who cares? It's pizza. I always order...
This is a plug for convenience. Whatever your most convenient pizza place, I plug that for
you. Right. And as our wrestling group kind of grew, we kind of rotated on who got pizza that week.
Right.
It was me, you, and then not that long later, it was Neil. Mm-hmm. Because I knew there was times where like Neil would come over to watch pay-per-views while we waited for you to come over and finish up with the newspaper or something like that. And eventually, my roommate got into it, towards the end. I believe the last one to convert was John. And I don't think that happened until the house.
Yeah.
When he, like, lived there and didn't have a choice.
That's really the key.
That's the part of it. Especially, like, you know... Like, Jason didn't have a choice. He lived in the same room as me. The Sam and John and Megan and, like, you know, anyone else that stayed the night or whatever didn't have a choice at that house because they live with you.
Right, and that's the real key. And any of you who are big into wrestling and have roommates, be they spouses or just friends who aren't as into wrestling, you know that the key is, like, they just need to have one opinion,
right.
And that's your hook.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I'm slightly more excited.
They watch something, they see something, and they're like, well, what's up with that? And Hook.
And you're like, wait a minute, didn't he used to hate? Yeah. And you're like, yes, let me tell you the Wikipedia history of this wrestler.
And eventually, it really, especially when, you know, some of us were still living at the dorm, some of us were living, you know, or you guys were living at the house or whatever, it was an excuse for all of us to at least see each other one day a week. When, you know, we had finals and papers and all this other busy stuff pulling us in different directions. So that was the ultimate. Wrestling is the glue. And now we don't need wrestling to, like, you know, all of us to hang out or anything. We have, like, adult lives.
Some would say we never needed wrestling.
No, we didn't. But it was a good thing for us to kind of, like, have in common. Yes. Also, quick thing.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I just looked over. Is it Leonard Chess Club? You dork. Sorry, there's a box up in this room. It just said Leonard Chess Club, and I'm sure it had been there for a long time, but for some reason, I just noticed it today. You dork. Also, I'm not great at chess.
I am fantastic. I'm not fantastic at chess. I just enjoy chess.
You, or compared to me, you were probably fantastic. Okay.
Speaking of, not even speaking of.
Ruined your transition.
Going back, ignoring you, doing my original transition. Mm-hmm. We have to talk about Raw this week. And specifically, we need to talk about numbers. We need to talk about ratings.
Yes.
Because it's been a few weeks now.
Yeah.
And I've kind of steered clear of it because I feel like every time there's a dip in the ratings, or really just an adjustment in the ratings.
Yeah.
There's stories galore about why this is a huge crash.
Right.
This is an unprecedented thing.
And a lot of it, in my eyes, the way that I had always looked at those reports or people that are going crazy over it, declining viewership, that's just the way television is going these days.
So there's a you lot know? Of...
I feel like that's the main factor.
There are a lot of things to discuss right here. One is, yes, as you say, it's just a, you know, you don't get, no TV show gets numbers like it did once upon a time.
They don't even get numbers they got like 5 to 10 years ago.
No, and some of that is just an abundance of choice. Mm-hmm. Some of that is streaming that, you know, takes a bite out of it, Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, etc. Mm-hmm. Some of it is, you know, yeah, I can watch Raw, but I can watch it, you know, the next day, I can watch it a week from now, I can watch it whenever, and those don't go into those live numbers. Raw famously has the This Is Your Life segment with Rock and Mankind, is got like a 9.1 on the Nielsen rating. That's never going to happen again. And like, that is a higher rating than, like, anything gets today, not just wrestling.
Yeah.
And so that's just not going to happen. But you also have stuff to compare to, like, okay, so this is Raw's lowest rating ever, but there's different ways to look at it because Raw has been on different channels over time. Raw has been, you know, 2 hours to 3 hours. It gets even trickier when you look at SmackDown, when SmackDown has been on different channels, some broadcast channels, because SmackDown was on UPN for a while.
Yeah.
SmackDown has also been famously live and then not live. Mm-hmm. And so comparing, like, oh, this is SmackDown's lowest record, but on Tuesdays and 100 other things. So it is very tricky to compare numbers.
Sure.
That being said, yes, Raw ratings are down.
Yes. I also think, I mean, the closer you get to the holidays, the ratings are going to dip.
Right.
Like, and again, you've got, you know, Monday Night Football. We're in football season and everything right now. So, like...
Well,
those are contributing factors.
Like, Raw's ratings are down. I don't know. They are concerningly down. I don't know if they're alarmingly down yet.
Right. And I'm not bringing all this up to be like, you know, to defend their product or anything. I'm just saying, like, I never understood, like, the hysteria over it. Like, I don't understand why people are getting so...
Well, okay, so here's...
You know.
Here's
why, we got you, WWE.
Why I feel... It's worth bringing up at this point.
Well, now it's made its way in the content. Like,
right, it has. Oh, boy, we'll get to that.
Yeah.
So Raw is still doing fantastic compared to pretty much everything else sure. on USA.
Yeah.
USA has no desire to get rid of this. It's still pulling in.
Hence why they paid so much to keep it.
Right, exactly. Raw, for all intents and purposes, we're going to say is pulling in 2 million viewers. Right. It is slightly different when you see the numbers that are saying, oh, Raw's pulling in X amount. 9 times out of 10, and especially over these past couple of weeks, they are talking very specifically about the third hour of Raw. Because when you look at television ratings, they're broken down by the hour.
Yeah.
That's why, technically, Raw and Raw is War were two different TV shows.
Right.
One was the first hour, one was the second hour, because they were broken down differently
yeah.
in the TV ratings. Obviously, they're all the same show.
Mm.
But for purposes of how is this doing, it's broken down. When they say Raw is pulling in X amount, they are more than likely talking about the third hour because the third hour tends to be the lowest viewed hour. People go to bed.
And interestingly enough, because I think they still do this, but like at the end or beginning of each hour, you'll still see the copyright little box at the bottom.
Right. That's why we used to call the 10 o'clock like the John Cena hour because right. they would get that quote-unquote pop right at the beginning o'clock. Of the yeah. next ratings.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so Raw, the first hour, is doing slightly better than whatever number you are seeing.
Well, sure.
Not huge. We're talking like 2.3 million viewers at the beginning and then 2 million at the end. So not yeah. a massive amount.
But still a little bit of a...
Right. But for ease of the conversation, we'll say Raw has been pulling in 2 million viewers
mm-hmm.
on average past couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So that is interesting when you look at the Fox deal.
Yeah.
Because we had a story from Meltzer either yesterday or today.
Right.
That says Fox is basically looking for 3.3 million viewers to watch SmackDown.
And that's also, that's on a Friday.
Yes.
Which is a ratings killer. Like, nobody watches anything on Fridays.
Right. So you have this balancing act where it is on Fox. It will just be in more households. Fox sure. is a bigger channel than right. USA, so there should be a natural boost up of that. At the same time, it is going to be on Friday. Friday is a notoriously...
Mm-hmm. It's where a lot of shows go to die.
Right. I'm not even sure, and you can check me on this, but shows are just not even put on Friday anymore. Shows that are intended yeah. to succeed mm-hmm. at all,
yeah.
they're just not put on Fridays. Nobody mm-hmm. watches stuff on Fridays.
For example, like, you know, a show that I feel like only I watched, Kings on NBC, it started like on a Sunday night show, and then they just didn't do well, and then without really telling anyone, like no advertisements, no nothing, they just moved it to Fridays
If your show is moved to Friday,
yes.
that's a bad sign yeah. because usually that is because there is some sort of contractual obligation
mm-hmm.
to air the rest of the episodes.
Right. But they don't have any, they have no desire to put any emphasis behind it, essentially.
Right. It's to burn them off, have something on the air, and then it moves to Friday. There's also, you can see recent trends, and by recent I'm talking about basically from 2010 to now.
Mm-hmm.
Fridays would be a lot more of the like sci-fi, fantasy, mm-hmm. pulpy. Kind of your big soapy Grey's Anatomy
yeah.
stuff is Thursdays and Wednesdays mm-hmm. or Mondays. Your more cultish TV show
mm-hmm.
ends up being on Fridays. Part of the reasoning behind that is like, nerds don't go out on Fridays. We'll put all our nerd shows on Friday.
Right.
Like, you know, and take that for what you will. That was part of the thought process.
Mm-hmm.
But also part of it is these are shows that have a very low rate for success, especially mm-hmm. if you're looking in a pre-Game of Thrones era
yeah.
where these shows just, they can only get so many. We can put them on Monday, we can put them on Thursday, we can put them on Friday. The same 1.5 million people are going to watch
right.
them. No matter where we put them right. on, we
it's
might as
like,
well put them on
like
Friday.
You're going to have a reliable base to start with. Now, if it spikes anywhere above that for like a special episode, then great. But you know, you're always going to get, like you said, that 1.5.
Right. Like, and you're never going to get above that 1.5.
Sure.
Because the majority of your audience is not interested in that.
Yeah.
So there is This is all just kind of background to give you an idea of what Fox is looking at mm-hmm. with SmackDown.
Yeah.
Now,
because SmackDown, they get around the same ratings as Raw, or a little bit less.
They get a little bit less. They tend to get a little bit less. I believe this week they actually outranked Raw, and that was part of the big deal.
Yeah.
Is that SmackDown overdrew Raw?
Mm-hmm.
We'll get to that in a second as well. Part of it is we don't know 100% how Fox is viewing this show. Are they viewing it as a TV show entertainment? Are they viewing it as sports?
Right.
Sports is one of the few things that gets aired on Fridays when sports happen on Fridays. Sure. And that's really what it comes down to is when do the sports happen? We'll air them then. But they air on Fridays at times, and that's one of the things that is quote-unquote... you know, proof of what's it called? DVR proof.
Yeah.
Because you have to watch it live.
Yeah.
That's, and we know that some of what they're losing is this UFC deal.
Right.
Which is kind of the thought process of, oh, they want this thing to fill in their sports slot.
Yeah.
Add to that, that I think Fox's first mention on the air of Fox that SmackDown is coming was in a football game.
Yeah.
This week? Last week?
Last week, because it was when that running back was sitting on your bench.
Oh.
It was that game.
Oh.
Because it was in Memphis.
Yes.
Or, sorry, Nashville. It was Nashville, so they had Jeff Jarrett come and be the... Which is a weird... In 2018, that's a weird spokesperson.
Oh, he did the sword and the thing.
Yeah. That's a weird... That's a weird spokesperson to send. I get it. Nashville, that's his territory and everything, but, I mean, Rusev and Lana apparently live in Nashville. Why not send them? They're current.
Well, and, okay, I will say they probably don't care about current.
Because sure. Oh, yeah.
WWE,
yeah,
you know, we're talking about WWE has done nothing to make their current roster the icons that the 90s roster was.
Sure.
You can, and again, we'll...
Again, that's fine. But even then, I can still think of better people to send than Jeff Jarrett.
Well, I feel like if you grabbed somebody off the street and were like, name all the wrestlers, they would name Jeff Jarrett before they named most of the modern roster.
In Nashville, sure. I don't know about the rest of the country.
I don't know.
Jeff Jarrett was probably the best choice to make sure that the local people got a, like, there was a response out of them.
Right.
But I feel like you could also get that response from, like, a Shawn Michaels or something.
Yeah, okay, Shawn Michaels. But I still feel like Shawn Michaels is a legacy character.
Mm-hmm.
Yet you grab any guy in the, you know, 80s to early 90s, and you're like, all right, you can name, they don't have to watch wrestling, all that have to be a wrestling fan. They can name Hogan, they can name not just Hogan, but they can name Macho Man.
Sure.
They can name, you know, Ted DiBiase. They can name King Kong Bundy. These aren't...
Bundy.
That's, yeah. King Kong Bundy.
Thank you.
Bundy.
Bundy.
These aren't deep cut wrestling references when you are talking to somebody from the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Likewise, you can grab anybody from the late 90s and they can name a massive roster. They can name Stone Cold, they can name The Rock, they can name Goldberg, they can name maybe Kevin Nash, you know.
Right.
You grab anybody off the street from today, they can name John Cena.
Yeah.
They can get lucky maybe and name Triple H or Undertaker because they remember them from the 90s.
Sure,
and they're still technically wrestlers today. But beyond that, I don't know who they can name. Maybe Roman Reigns.
Sure.
Maybe Roman Reigns is enough that can get it. But I bet you ask the average person, they are going to be more likely to know Macho Man snap into a Slim Jim than they are any, you know, Intercontinental Champion for the past 5 years.
Right. And yeah. Now, honestly, you kind of sidetracked me a little bit. Now all I think of is maybe we should put out a some shirts of a sassy King Kong Bundy.
What? No.
But yeah, I still think it had to do with like the local area. Like if it was in Memphis, they would be dumb not to use like Jerry the King.
They
Kong
would absolutely be dumb not to use Lawler.
I'm sure the location had a lot to do with it.
I
mean, not only you know because of his legacy with his dad and everything in that area, but also like that's where TNA was
based
in for the longest time before now they're up in Canada, which feels weird.
Well, okay.
Sorry, Impact, excuse me.
Well, and it also feels like, hey, wait a minute. Shouldn't we have a Southeast area wrestling promotion?
Yeah.
Shouldn't we have some Deep South wrestling? Anybody trying to make a competitive, you know, brand? Hey, this whole Tennessee, the Carolinas, Georgia segment of the country is deep wrestling.
Yeah, 100%. They can't get enough of it down here.
But anyway,
yeah.
The whole point of this is that was Fox's first mention on air. Hey, yeah. SmackDown's going to be here next October.
Yeah.
Which would lead one to assume that it is like, hey, here's the sports connection. You like these guys slamming into each other? Here's some more guys slamming into each other.
Well, yeah, that and like sports. You know, like you're not, that's where your biggest audience is going to be is, you know, a NFL game.
Right.
So, I mean, then that's going to be kind of their lead in for the, you know, for the foreseeable future because Fox now has that Thursday night football slot.
Mm-hmm.
I do have one thing I want to bring up, and it kind of like ties into the whole like WWE current product, especially on Raw.
Okay.
We're coming up on the end of the year.
Yes.
And sooner than later, we're going to be at our Classies episode. And there's one category that I've, because I've, you know, I've been kind of mentally going through all the categories, like who I'm going to pick for this and that. And the, I'm having a real hard time with the Sin Cara Award. Something that was supposed to be awesome, it turned awful.
Okay.
And a lot of that has to do with, like, really low expectations of pretty much everything. I'm not going to say who I have, or there's a few I can't pick on what my. Not, I'm sorry, not yeah. You're right. I think
what I didn't say anything.
You didn't. I'm getting confused.
But I like being right, so I'm going to let you keep going.
I have a few ideas
for the Mark Henry.
Yeah, but I don't want to mention them because I don't want to spoil them.
No, that's fair. That's fair.
And I kind of have an idea for this Sin Cara, but I'm not.
I think
that's the thing. Like, I don't have a whole lot.
I think what you're trying to say is part of the Sin Cara award is supposed to be something you were excited for,
right. Something
that left you ultimately disappointed.
Yeah,
and
everything's just been disappointing.
well, there's not even been something to be excited for.
Yeah,
is what you're trying to get across.
Yeah. There's one thing that's kind of sticking out to me right now, and it's kind of. But it feels like a little bit of a reach.
Mm-hmm.
I might as well just talk about it rather than like loosely like allude to it. I was thinking of like when they announced that they're going to have all these giant arena shows.
Yeah.
You know, it was around the time we heard about the Saudi Arabia deal and we knew they were going to do a big show in Australia and then there, you know, there's still some down the pipe. And I'm like, all right, WrestleMania, like multiple times a year. And it hasn't gone well. Like that's the only thing that I can kind of, you know, point at,
right?
Because I mean,
okay, so leading off of this whole ratings fiasco,
yeah,
quote unquote fiasco, there is
you are proud of me about how the subject tied into what we were just talking about, right, though.
No, I'm saving it.
How dare you?
We also spoke several weeks ago when we got to be on the call, for being stockholders, and I got to listen into the call, and one of the things that they talked about was where their revenue was coming from, and we talked about they're getting so much money from, like, these stupid app games.
Yeah.
That's why they keep making Wrestling Bedazzled, Wrestling Angry Bejeweled, Wrestling Angry Birds,
right.
Wrestling whatever. And so, but one of the things they said is, house shows are not pulling in what they once were.
No.
That is kind of a big deal right now. House shows were the moneymaker for the longest time. These TV shows were essentially advertisements for the house show.
Mm-hmm.
When the, you know, when Raw or SmackDown's coming into your town, you go and watch it.
Yeah.
House shows are barely breaking even right now. These big arena shows were felt kind of like they are. And even after it was like, oh, these aren't anything other than big house shows,
mm-hmm.
at least it still felt like they're big deal house shows.
Sure.
And you, do you want to make house shows feel big? And we kind of have this thing with Starrcade, mm-hmm. where, you know, they had Starrcade last year, mm-hmm. and it was like, it's Starrcade, and you're like, it's a house show.
Yeah.
Are you going to show it on the network? No, it's literally just a house show,
mm-hmm.
but we say Starrcade.
Yeah.
Like, we don't, we just put Starrcade on the marquee.
Right.
We print it on your ticket. Instead of Raw Live, it says Starrcade.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, that's nothing. And then it wasn't even in Greensboro the next year. We're like, that's literally, that's the thing about Starrcade.
It's Greensboro.
It's in Greensboro, North Carolina. Now it's up in Idaho, New Memphis. I didn't know where it was.
And they did actually put some stuff of it on the network. And that kind of made me mad. Because I'm like, honestly, from what they showed, like, last year, Starrcade was way better. But, you know, whatever.
Well, so, I don't know. And it seems to me like they don't 100% know what's going to happen with house shows in the future.
Right.
House shows, if they continue to decline, they will soon be losing money on doing these house shows.
And when that happens, you can guarantee those live shows are going to, you know, go the way of pyro.
Well, and part of it is house shows are supposed to be so reliable. That is the thing that makes the money, that mm-hmm. makes the machine go. And but you also think about house shows are the reason these guys are on the road, you know, 7 days a week. It's the reason they don't see their family 300 days out of the year. It's because they're doing these house shows. Could you imagine if they did their one or two shows a week where they're like, all right, we got to go to this place, do Raw. We got to then go to this next pretty local, you know, place, maybe a 5-hour drive. Mm-hmm. We're going to do a SmackDown. Great. We'll see you next Monday or this Sunday if it's a pay-per-view.
Yeah.
I mean, that was an entirely different ask of these guys than, you know, maybe they have, you know, a signing or something that they do on Wednesday or on Thursday. But if you are not doing a nightly match at a live show, that's an entirely different ask of these wrestlers.
Yeah, and maybe the only other thing I can think of is maybe do away with anything during the week, you know? Because like it always weirded me out that during Monday Night Raw, the SmackDown crew is doing house shows and vice versa on Tuesdays.
Yeah.
And then I believe they're off like on a Wednesday and maybe Thursday and then back at it on Friday.
And they do Friday, Saturday.
But yeah, like those,
they need to.
But like those Monday, Tuesday live shows, like I don't understand why you're doing that when you've got like, I mean, granted, it's only like a small snippet of your audience that are, that would be at home watching instead of, you know, being there.
Right.
But it never made much sense. Now, but do you think that it might also be a factor of the, you know, the fact that they're split up?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember what it was like during the Super Show era.
Yeah.
I mean, I, for all intents and purposes, wasn't watching SmackDown at the time. Mm-hmm. I felt like, didn't SmackDown still have, like, the SmackDown roster, even though they all appeared on Raw, or the important ones did, they were still like, these are the SmackDown guys.
Yeah.
And it was this weird thing where you're like, the SmackDown guys are more important. They're on twice as many shows.
Right.
But somehow Raw's still the important thing.
Yeah.
So I don't know. And I...
Like, part of me thinks that maybe they can cut their costs if they're not doing two shows at the same time and not getting the audience that they want at either.
I have a feeling that Vince McMahon is not going to want to let go of the house shows.
No.
I think that is, for so long, been the structural backbone of the wrestling industry.
Yeah.
Like, beyond just this, you know, WWE rules the world era, like, even back into the territorial days, these house shows, which were just shows at the time, these are major deals. This is what everything is built on. And I feel like Vince is going to see it as a temporary slump for a long time.
No, I don't see him doing away with them entirely. I would see something like, you know, consolidating the roster and doing one show per day or something like that. Rather
well,
than...
but there's also something very interesting where NXT is going on tour. There was an NXT house show a few months from now. Basically in our area. We talked about going to it, and general admission tickets were sold out by the time we heard about the show. And it's still, again, as of this taping, it's a few months out. And there are only $75 tickets left. Which is a lot. And
it's for something that's not going to be a taping. That's
right.
Not
it's
like
not
going to
be a taping. And it's the kind of thing that's like, you know what? I can see NXT being worth it. Like, these are the close seats. These are the good seats. They are the 70. There's also nothing above $75.
Right. It's like the, those are the,
it's the, you know, right around the ring. You would be on camera if there was a camera. Area of tickets. And you're like, okay, if you have the money to spend, these are the seats that are worth $75. Right. They will sell. But part of it's like, so you sold out of general admission tickets crazy fast in this. Now, part of that, I think, is it's in a much smaller venue than anything I've ever seen Raw or SmackDown.
NXT usually runs much smaller venues.
And part of that, I think, is just this feeling of they still don't see NXT as a third brand. It is still a sub-brand, a rookie brand. Yes and no.
And it just has a more devoted fan base.
Right, we don't need to get into that. It is, I think everybody understands NXT is a third brand, and it isn't quite a third brand at the same time.
Right.
But you get to this thing where, okay, so there is this audience for house shows. These are, you have sold out of this. This either needs to be in a bigger arena, you need to have more, you know, of this properly priced ticket, or what is NXT doing so right that SmackDown and Raw aren't?
Yeah, I mean, it's a, like you said, it was a combination of things, like being in a smaller venue and, you know, having a more dedicated fan base. Like, you know, you're going to get a certain amount of tickets sold and enthusiasm for every show that you just don't have. You don't have that enthusiasm surrounding a Raw or SmackDown show.
No. And part of that comes to, I don't want to really take a ton of time to delve into, like, where Raw is going wrong right now. Because, A, that's nine podcasts worth of content of that we don't have time to get into. And, B, there's a lot of, like, Vince is rewriting the show Mondays at 5 o'clock right now.
Yeah, I mean, and also, again, this is one of the benefits of a show that is geared more towards the 18 to 36 demographic. You have people who have money and or at least make money, have jobs, and are willing to spend that money to go to their shows. Now, Raw, SmackDown, geared more towards the kids. They don't have control of the money. Now, you do have those parents that, like, all right, just, you know, give the kid whatever they want so they can shut up. But you also have a healthy dose of people that are like, I'm not paying for that for the kid.
Right. Well, as a parent who is like, okay, I don't hate this, but, like, I don't really care about this stuff.
And I don't want to sit through 3 hours of or a couple hours of it on a live show.
Right. So, parents saying, I don't want to do this. Or parents saying, yeah, okay, we can do this. But these, you know, $75 tickets are stupid. We're getting $15 tickets. Especially when this parent's like, all right, I got to buy a ticket for me. I got to buy a ticket for both of my kids and their dumb friend who wants to hang out.
Right.
I mean, that starts to add up really fast. I remember, like, you know, it's the same thing. Just, like, movies have this problem where you're like, the family's going to the movies to pay, and they're paying $10 a ticket. That's a $40 movie that I can buy and own a DVD of in 3 months. Where you're like, all right, so we can go pay.
Or 1 month if you're Venom.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, I can go and pay and watch this live show for $60-$70 yeah. plus, you know, this $9 thing of beer and soda.
Yeah, with like especially with movies, like you're buying a movie like four or five times over at that point.
Right. Or, you know, hey, the same thing's going to be on TV on Monday.
Right.
For free.
So, yeah, like you want to have that for your kid, but at the same time, it's like, that price really racks up after a while. And I have a feeling that has to be a factor in all this.
Well,
because even, you know, you do have the cheap seats, you know, at the live events, but even those aren't all that cheap sometimes.
No, and then we get to what is becoming the Dolph Ziggler problem. And yep. I hate it because, as always, disclaimer, I love Dolph Ziggler. Yep. I think he's immensely talented, wish great things for him, had a vision for his future mm-hmm. that they chose to ignore. But it is this Dolph Ziggler comes on every week.
Yep.
Dolph Ziggler puts on the same match
mm-hmm.
with the same one or two people.
Mm-hmm.
He hits the same spots. He looks the exact same amount good every week.
Mm-hmm.
There is no storyline progression. There is no storyline degression.
No.
There is the exact same holding pattern. And you have that as a whole throughout the show.
Yeah.
Where you have this handful of guys, these guys, you know, coming out, filling up this amount of time again and again and again.
Yeah.
And for as stacked and deep and diverse and amazingly talented as your roster is, Raw looks very empty. I think somebody said on Twitter, and I don't remember who, so I can't credit, I apologize, but they said, this roster is so stacked that Ricochet is your mid-card champion on your development brand.
Yeah.
Like, that is how insanely stacked we are.
Yeah. Staggering, yeah.
Anyway, here's Baron Corbin, and the champion's not here tonight.
Again.
And when you see that, when you see a lack of option, when you see something repetitive on TV, and they say, hey, Raw's coming to your town, you're just not immediately filled with all the options that you could see.
Yeah.
I mean, when you have, you should be saying, like, oh, I hope this guy comes out. I hope we get to see this guy.
Yeah.
And you take the NXT example. In the, you know, we said, hey, we found out about it, and, you know, one night. The plan was to buy the tickets the next night within 24 hours.
Yeah.
So we had 24 hours of our lives where we were planning to go see this show.
Yep.
And we just had this list of like, oh man, Undisputed Era is going to have a match. Like, yep. I wonder, they'll have some sort of tag team thing. I wonder who they can go against. What, like, do you think Ricochet and Velveteen Dream will still be feuding? Do you think they could, like, have something with those guys? And we just like, oh, but if they don't, you know, even if they don't, Velveteen Dream could go against Aleister Black. He could be in championship mode right now. Oh, but, you know, oh,
yeah, he had all these
Gargano is the bad guy now. Yeah. And so, like, oh, is he going to, could they get together? And so you had this could happen or this could happen. And I'm excited to see so many possibilities. I'm excited to think about and discuss these possibilities. And each possibility was this, oh, that makes me want to go and see it. On Raw, you have Baron Corbin's going to fight somebody. It's going to be Seth Rollins?
Yeah.
Or it's going to, like, I don't know. But it feels small.
Yeah.
Your biggest show feels like your smallest.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
And so, because of that, it feels very easy to miss.
Mm-hmm.
When was, that you can think of, when was the last time, you watched The Good Place, right?
Yes.
So, quick reminder, Raw is a TV show. Raw operates under the same rules as a TV show, not like a sporting event. So, throw out the, it's a sport version, and look at the, it's a TV show version right now. The Good Show has this tendency...
The Good Place.
Sorry. Which is a good show.
It is a good show, but yes.
The Good Show has its tendency...
Good Place.
I'm sticking with it now.
All right.
The Good Show, The Good Place...
Yes.
...has its tendency to more or less reinvent its formula every third episode or though.
Yeah.
Or so. Where... And I don't want to spoil it, because if you haven't watched it, you should... the first two seasons are on Netflix. You should watch the whole thing.
Yeah.
But something happens in like episode 4 where you're like, that is a season finale.
Yeah.
And then 4 episodes later, like, that's a, they are throwing away an entire season's worth of content. Mm-hmm. They're just barreling through it.
Yeah.
So the show feels constantly fresh.
Yes.
The show feels like there's a new set of rules mm-hmm. constantly. And it feels like, you know, they introduce this concept and you're like, here's the new status quo. You know, like that, I cannot wait for this season. So they explore all this stuff. Oh, it's been 2 episodes. There's a new status quo.
Right.
Raw can't do that.
No.
Raw has to put out 52 episodes. The Good Place has to put out 13 episodes.
Yeah.
But Raw should do some of that. The concept of a cliffhanger
yeah.
is supposed to get you to watch TV and tune in the next week.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't think of the last cliffhanger where the show went off the air and I went, I need to see what happens next.
There, maybe so, the Dean Ambrose
like
that, attack.
That's the thing. Yeah. It's like the last one is the Dean Ambrose, which really was vaulted into that stratosphere because it followed the Roman announcement.
Yeah.
And so you're like, well, I can't 100% credit that to sheer creative brilliance. Like mm-hmm. they did. They played a smart hand with the cards they were dealt.
Yeah.
And so they had this, I want to tune in next week to see what happens there. But past that, the pipe bomb? Like,
yeah,
that seems like it's way too far back. But that's the moment where I was like, when the show went off air, and I'm like, no, wait, you're not done explaining what's going on.
Yeah.
And before that, like the Nexus invasion?
I had a little bit of that with the Daniel Bryan heel turn, like right at the end of SmackDown, episode of SmackDown. There was a little bit of that, like, but it's nothing where you feel like a ton of urgencies. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of like, huh, that's interesting. I wonder where they're going to go with that.
Right.
You know, and then it's something that you don't really think about until like, you know, 7:45 the next week. We're like, oh yeah, this is happening.
Yeah, what happened this week?
Oh, right.
Yeah. And like, I'm talking about that feeling where the, you know, copyright logo shows up in the corner and you go, no, I'm not done with this episode yet. And I mean, you switch over to NXT.
They seem like they have it like, you know, every so often. Like,
right. And that's things like you don't need it every week, but I would say easily,
mm-hmm.
you know, 6 times a year to 10 times a year.
You would have it. Like,
so not even once a month, but mm-hmm. at least once every 2 months, somewhere close to once a month.
And you had it almost every other week with the whole Gargano-Ciampa situation.
Well, you would have these moments mm-hmm. where, you know, something would be going on and you'd be kind of looking at your watch and like, oh, we got mm-hmm. 2 minutes left. And you're like, I need them to do something because I know that logo is going to pop up anytime
mm-hmm.
and that's it.
Yeah.
And I need them to do something.
NXT even had a Who Shot JR storyline with the whole Aleister Black thing. And that wasn't even on their TV. Like, that's something they broke through social media.
Yeah.
And they just had it like as a storyline going for like a couple months.
Yeah.
You know? And honestly, it sounds cheesy and it sounds dopey, but I enjoyed the most out of it. And NXT just lends itself to surprises. Like this week, you ended the show with a surprised opponent for Ricochet for his North American Championship. Who did it end up being? It was fully, like, full-blown NXT mode Tyler Breeze.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't think of the last time anyone got excited over Tyler Breeze, but I was excited for it.
I was excited because
it was a fantastic match, and I kind of hope he sticks around for NXT.
And it was this absolute switch that's like all these like moments, all these memories flooding back of like, I remember that Tyler Breeze totally won me over. I remember hating the Prince Pretty thing.
Mm-hmm.
I remember being like, this is the bad gimmick that will be forgotten. This is the prototype,
mm-hmm.
you know, that he'll tell in a story. Because, like, I see the talent, but I don't see the good character.
Right.
And then I remember, oh, he won me over, and I feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And all that came back, and I'm like, this feels immediately earned.
Absolutely. And it sent you back to just a great place. Like, oh, man, this is the guy that this company trusted at one point to fight or just have a one-off match against Jushin Thunder Liger at a takeover event. Like,
mm-hmm.
that's nuts to think about. But also, side note, on Twitter, he did kind of call out Velveteen Dream, like, today.
Yeah?
I'm like, yes, please. Because I'm like, what is Velveteen Dream going to do? Like, I don't think he's going to get called up before Rumble. He might be a surprise entrant at the Rumble, but it makes you think, like, what is he going to do? What are they going to have him do at the next takeover? And I'm like, well, why not have a one-off match against Tyler Breeze?
Well, and, like, you look at the track record of successful call-ups. I don't want any... There's no call-up that I'm looking forward to at this point.
And honestly, for my Sin Cara award, one of the contenders I'm thinking about is every NXT call-up from the last year.
Yeah.
Because I don't think there's been a successful one this year.
Not at the level... Of what it should be.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, they all have felt like demotions.
The most successful, if you can say that, was AOP. But, you know, they won the championship against one guy.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's been such an asterisk type of championship run so far. I can't think of, like, a really single successful call-up in the last 65 days.
And... I will say, I will acknowledge this because I know it's the devil's advocate argument of it takes time. You can't jump from the top of NXT straight to the top of and you can point to things like Becky where you're like, she was a call up and it took a while to find the footing, but she is the red hot thing, and that's how long it takes. And to that I say, is it? Like, is the argument that is how long it should take to get to the main event when you are main event talent.
Right.
And if you say yes, maybe you're right.
Mm-hmm.
It is still honestly NXT and this method of having a rookie league that we WWE Universe can watch and say like, oh, this person is ready for the big leagues.
Right. And to that I ask, like, then what's the point of NXT? You know, like, what's the point of them having this superstar factory just churn out talent after talent after talent only to get kind of, like, forgotten about on the main roster? Like, if you're bringing up someone and you're like, okay, we want this person to be a big deal. Because, you know, like, there's been guys that, and females that have come straight out of NXT, debut on Raw, and they're like, and you know WWE wants them to be a big deal. Mm-hmm. And then they just lose patience, lose focus, and forget about them for months.
Well, and I can't go back and say like, oh, this person was the next big thing in FCW or in Ohio Valley.
Yeah.
And then they've just not. So there are plenty of people who I can look at and be like, you have Bobby Roode's career.
Yeah.
Like, you have your debut to pinnacle moment is a mirror of what Bobby Roode has done. But I can't look back and say, like, oh, in Ohio Valley, you had what Bobby Roode had, where you were this champion and you looked like you were ready to be the next big thing. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And that, I will say, will take some time. Where, like, if we see, oh, Apollo Crews does have what it takes, he just literally needs to go through this amount of steps and this amount of mid-carding to get there. But personally, I don't think that's the case.
No.
I think that almost every character has been uniformly mishandled, and I think that's why, to go back to the earlier point, you grab anybody off the street and say, name all the wrestlers right now, and they'll go John Cena, Triple H, Undertaker, and does The Rock still count?
Yeah, not 100%. Hey, Joel.
Yes.
We have a pay-per-view to cover.
We do have a pay-per-view to cover.
And all right, so I've got the TLC card pulled up.
Okay.
We've got 12 matches.
Whew, all right, let's fly through the boring ones, because I know, like, the two or three that I want to talk about.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know the Mixed Match Challenge Finals was going to be on the pay-per-view.
Yes, Mixed Match Challenge Finals are going to be on the pay-per-view. Also, the stipulation is the winners of this match will get the number 30 slots in both the men and women's Royal Rumbles.
And a paid vacation, January, if you care about that.
Yeah, whatever.
We have, basically, I didn't even know these are the finals, but we have basically the only two teams that I can think of that stayed intact throughout the entire season, or this season, or whatever they want to call it.
A mixed match.
Yeah, we got Fabulous Truth, R-Truth and Carmella, and then Mahalisha with Jinder Mahal and Alicia Fox. I mean, it's got to be Fabulous Truth, right?
Do you think?
I mean, who cares about Alicia Fox being number 30?
I mean,
but then again, who cares about the other? Like, I don't. Who cares about either of these teams?
No, number 30 is not going to win the Rumble this year. It's an inherently stupid slot.
Especially if two of these four individuals are going to be that number 30. Like, yeah, who cares?
And like, I honestly think it'll be Jinder Mahal and Alicia Fox, just because number 30 is getting thrown out pretty quickly at this point. For anybody, it doesn't matter. And I am assuming that R-Truth and or Carmella is going to dance break in their in the Rumble. And that seems like it would happen earlier in the show.
that's a fair point. Because usually you would want to be done with all the shenanigans by the time, long before you get to number 30.
Right.
23
up is all serious contenders.
I don't know. I don't think WWE cares at this point. Just as injury riddled as that whole situation is.
This is one we can differ on.
Sure.
We have to look for those sometimes.
We got a chairs match. Our first official stipulation of TLC. Rey Mysterio versus Randy Orton. Rey Mysterio, I guess. I don't know.
I'll say Randy Orton because, there's weapons and he's vindicious and vindictive. Mm-hmm. That's the word. Vindictive and vicious.
Vindicious.
He's vindicious.
The vindicious
Randy
Orton.
He's so vindicious they had to make up a new name.
As if Randy Orton needs any more new names.
He is the apex vindicious predator assassin Viper.
Out of nowhere. now we have a white bread, plain old WWE Cruiserweight Championship match with Buddy Murphy and Cedric Alexander. I could see Cedric Alexander
winning. That would be a nice kind of like end of the year victory.
Sure. Because he's had a little bit of a redemption storyline going on in 205 Live right now. I could see it happening.
I could see it happening. I still think I'm going to pick Buddy Murphy.
Okay. I mean, we're just differing on everything.
Wow. This is going to be a big one.
We've got a tables match with Natalya versus Ruby Riott. And you know what? I will give WWE some credit here. They've got, on a pay-per-view, a match for the women that has nothing to do with the championship.
That is true.
So I will give them credit for that.
It is about sunglasses.
It is about sunglasses. And that, I'm sorry. I know that's like sentiment over, you know, a passing relative and everything. But stupid. Like, it's, I'm sorry, it's.
I will, like, so I'm going to give it to Natalya because family redemption, blah, blah, blah.
Right, and Ruby Riott has gone a little bit, like, she's trying to, like, she's gotten away with too much as far as, like, you know, like, destroying the glasses and then the weird, like, fat head poster on a table.
But how bummersome, I guess. How much of a bummer is it that Ruby Riott, her job is to lose to Natalya?
Right.
Like, doesn't that feel like...
Feels gross, right?
It feels gross. And then it feels gross that losing to Natalya is such a negative thing to happen.
Yeah, there's that. And it also feels like... Okay, this might not be... This might not sound great. But they're using Jim Neidhart's death for this? Like, it's wrestling. They were going to use it in a storyline somewhere at some point. But you're using it for this? Like,
okay, if this... Remember that half a decade ago, Natalya was in our dream WrestleMania match.
Yeah, that was back when we didn't know about the better options.
No, it totally is. Totally is. But I don't think Natalya is necessarily a bad wrestler.
No.
Natalya had amazing NXT stuff with Charlotte.
Yes.
And
she's just a boring one-dimensional character that just sounds disingenuous.
If I had any faith or hope that this was the stepping stones mm-hmm. to build Natalya up as a competitor and as a genuine character,
yeah,
fine. But I don't. And so it feels like this is all for nothing. It feels unfortunate this is time filler, which is a shame because you should be excited that there is a women's match,
yeah,
not for the title, a tables match. So it's yeah. not just a quick roll-up pin. It's mm-hmm. even if it's a quick through the tables, that still feels like a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
Like that they're giving this stipulation.
Yeah, pretty much.
But
so yeah, I'm just gonna say Natalya.
Natalya.
But then again, they might want to if they decide to continue this feud.
I'm saying Natalya.
If they want to continue this feud, Ruby Riott could pull off like a quick cheap win. Just
yeah,
like,
there is you can there's easy, so dirty many, wins.
You could Big Show accidentally step through a table this match somehow.
You could.
All I have to do is push Natalya really like it's how moderately hard.
It's how Sheamus beat John Cena for his championship. Tables match.
That's what I'm saying.
But I'm going to stick with Natalya.
I'm going to stick with Natalya as well. The triple threat match for the SmackDown Tag Team Championship, The Bar, New Day, and Usos.
Forgot that was a triple threat. You're like, the triple threat match for the SmackDown. And I was like, you weren't going to put this match here? You are not saving that match for the end of this?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it might not main event the show, but it's main eventing our picks.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, yeah, the tag team thing. There's no stipulations for this, is there?
It's just a tag team match, yeah. Shouldn't it be a TLC match?
Yeah.
Right?
A triple threat tag team match?
Uh-huh.
Yes, it should be a TLC match.
At a TLC event?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it should be.
Now, granted, they're using that for the SmackDown Women's Championship, but you can have more than
one. You can have more than one TLC
match. Come on.
Especially since your other one is, what's hanging
out? There's a TLC match between Baron Corbin and Braun Strowman, who might not even be there. And there's not a championship. There's nothing that's going to be hanging over the ring. There's no reason to be having a TLC match.
There's a ladder match with something that's stupid hanging over
the
ring.
Yeah, we're getting to it next.
What is that?
The guitar match.
The guitar!
It's not even listed as a guitar match, but it's a guitar match.
I knew it was stupid. I knew they had surpassed Sledgehammer for stupidness.
Yes, yes. But yeah, there's no reason for this not to be a TLC match.
No, you're right.
That being said, I mean, we're getting into WrestleMania season. That wouldn't be a bad time to put the belts back on New Day.
It wouldn't.
But, I mean, honestly, like, I'd be okay with the bar keeping them.
I'm okay with the bar keeping them. It's the kind of thing where, like, I still don't mind mm-hmm. that the SmackDown tag division is just a New Day Usos machine.
Sure. Yeah.
And they still continue the thing, to churn out amazing matches nonstop.
I feel like Usos and New Day have run through the entire division like twice over each.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I mean by that aspect I would say bar wins.
I would like to see a bigger even though again, I'm not tired of them.
No.
But I feel like once I am tired of them, I'm gonna get tired hard and fast.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to go ahead and see the bar in there.
Next up we have a ladder match with a guitar suspended over the ring. And the first to retrieve it can use it as a weapon. Really? Can't anyone use it if they get their hands on it? Like,
I will be shocked if both people aren't hit with a guitar at some point in this match.
The participants are Elias and Bobby Lashley.
Yeah, Elias is going to win.
Yeah, 100%.
It's his main weapon, the guitar.
Right?
Gabong.
Another grudge match, but it's just a white meat, just bland, unseasoned potato salad match. Finn Balor.
John Cena's gonna be there?
Crap. Sorry. Don't wanna. That would be way too interesting. Finn Balor versus Drew McIntyre. I'm assuming it still happened because Finn Balor was hurt last week.
Yeah. I'm gonna say Finn Balor.
I'm gonna say Drew McIntyre.
All right. Wasn't there some sort of like rumor he was demoning up for this?
I don't know. I have no idea.
I feel like it was,
but like,
I think it was because Drew McIntyre had an undefeated streak, and like I didn't know until Finn Balor broke his undefeated streak, and he talked about being undefeated a bunch on Raw this week. Where I was like, oh, he said undefeated like 9 times.
he's gonna, this is gonna involve the demon.
My brain just shut off. I have no memory of any of that. I have no memory of a Drew McIntyre winning streak, and I have no memory of him talking about it last week.
Yeah, well, he talked about it this week.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, because he's like, all great streaks must come to an end. The Undertaker, WrestleMania, even Drew McIntyre. But this defeat from last week only makes me stronger and more Scottish. I think those were his exact words. I remember very clearly.
If he demons up for it, then yeah, Finn wins. But until that happens, I'm going to say Drew Mac.
That's fine.
I wouldn't mind if we got like, because, you know, we got a little bit of a vigilante Ballard 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I loved it. Like, I thought that was the most interesting thing they've done with Finn in a while.
Give him his stupid title that he should have, then, like, my dream Finn would basically just, like, rip off Sting when Sting was a crow begin with.
And that's what I was getting at. Like, I wouldn't mind a vigilante demon.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't, like, that would just be something interesting and something that they're not really doing these days.
Yeah, you have rafters. Put them up there.
We don't want to put anybody high up for various reasons. You got the triple threat table or TLC match for the Women's Championship. Becky Lynch, Charlotte Flair, and Asuka. Wikipedia has them on 6th. That wasn't me.
Mm-hmm.
should
be the main event.
This really should be.
So far should be the main event. It's insane to think about.
You touched on it on the podcast last week with Matt, and I fully agree with you, and I'm picking Asuka for that very reason, where it feels like Charlotte and Becky Lynch are kind of destined for other things right now.
Right.
And they need to get the championship away from them.
And this is how you do it.
This is how you do it without pinning either female.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, Asuka needs it more.
Yeah.
You know, Becky has the momentum. Charlotte is Charlotte. Asuka needs, they've done an okay job the last couple weeks of kind of like, you know, rebuilding and rejuvenating the character and everything of Asuka.
But you should be doing it for this reason.
Yes. So this would just kind of be the final redemptive, like, cherry on top that really sets that character back on the pedestal where she should be.
Yeah.
Both picking Asuka.
Asuka. Yeah, I'm locking it in now. I refused to do it last week, but there's nothing here to stop me now.
You're Asuka locking it in. You had the singles just bland championship. WWE championship. I couldn't come up with any other adjectives, I guess.
Bland white paper, plain white tees.
Yes. WWE championship match, Daniel Bryan versus AJ Styles.
The Hey There Delilah of matches.
Yes.
Daniel Bryan's going to win.
Yeah.
I think that AJ's championship run is well done.
Yeah.
Like, good job. Very good championship. Mm-hmm. But it is time for him to move on past this. Daniel Bryan as the vegan champ is an interesting thing.
And having a desire, because I think it wasn't, was this week or the week before that he was on commentary during a match? It was this week, wasn't it?
I think it was the week before where he started going off about water bottles
and how he hopes his daughter one day grows up to kick every man in the crotch.
Yes.
Or in the groin. Or
in
however.
The groin.
Just such great work. I really love. I don't know. I feel like that time being the manager really helped him as far as, you know, character work and mic work especially.
Mm-hmm.
He just turned it on, and I love it. But I feel like the loser of this match is more than likely, I feel like, your Royal Rumble winner.
Okay.
You know? And that's why I'm leaning towards AJ to lose this match, because I think AJ's winning the Rumble.
Okay.
And probably challenging. More than likely.
So that, to consider that into your prediction, you have to be thinking ahead. Do you think Brock Lesnar is defending the title at WrestleMania? Do you think he's holding it until WrestleMania?
I do.
Okay.
Because, again, WWE can't help themselves when it comes to Brock Lesnar. And even though the smart move, if, you know, while Roman Reigns is gone, if Braun Strowman's supposed to be your guy, then crown the boy already. Like, yeah, just do it.
100%, yeah.
But I don't feel like they are. I don't feel like they're going to do it. Now, if they do, then I'll absolutely be okay with Braun Strowman versus AJ Styles at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, I have a feeling that one of the reasons they changed up Survivor Series last minute like they did
was
they had in mind of possibly doing Brock versus AJ at WrestleMania.
Okay. When is the last time a face has walked into WrestleMania as the champion? An intended face. Not this, like, oh, we're going to cheer for Brock Lesnar because we don't want Roman to win.
Intended face, Goldberg.
Was Goldberg the face there?
Absolutely. He was supposed to be the face there.
God, I don't. I feel like nobody has the face there.
You're right. But WWE wanted you to cheer for Goldberg.
Maybe. I mean, I feel like that was weird. Yeah. Like, that was a Brock Lesnar redemption story.
Sure. And that is weird. But
I feel like if we listen to
Goldberg's...
I get where you're coming from. We're like, we definitely weren't supposed to boo Goldberg.
But here's where you're wrong. Continue.
But I feel like... Okay, that was... Brock wasn't the heel in that storyline.
Yeah, it was kind of a weird kind of face versus the person WWE wanted to be a face. But
well,
the fans were giving him kind of the, like, meh treatment.
I was like, here, I'm going to ask this question, and it will reveal. My thought process is you always have a chasing the title to WrestleMania and then winning it at WrestleMania storyline.
Mm-hmm.
The Daniel Bryan WrestleMania 30 being the obvious great example
of
when that beautifully works.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have the glorious defender storyline.
AJ Styles this past year.
I won't say you're wrong,
mm-hmm.
but I still feel like that was more of a Shinsuke Nakamura chasing.
Vastly different people.
Yes, vastly different people. But they both started with an S, and that's what threw me.
Cool.
I almost said Superfly Jimmy Snuka. So at least we had the right era. I still feel like that was a Shinsuke chasing thing, especially because he
won.
And that was definitely not the main event title. The main event title was still that stupid Brock Lesnar thing.
Sure. Yeah, I would need more time to think about it, but yeah.
No, and there are plenty muddy examples like that one, like the Goldberg thing. It's not 100% this Triple H is the bad guy and Roman Reigns is the good guy and he's gonna come take it and save the company.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like, I guess what I'm saying is you don't really have a heel going into WrestleMania trying to take the belt.
Right.
Storyline. If you're chasing the belt towards WrestleMania, you are a face. I'm not going to say 100% of the time, because as soon as I do, somebody will correct me.
Yeah.
But especially in this era,
mm-hmm.
I feel like
especially
that is...
Especially for, like, the one that they hold above all the others.
Right.
Next, we have a singles match for the Raw. Ronda Rousey's going to win it.
Ronda Rousey.
I don't even need to...
Next, we have Ronda Rousey winning a match. Yeah. All right, go on.
Oh, man. Because you know how Wikipedia has, like, you know...
All the stipulation possibilities?
Let me just read out this one. Tables, ladders, and chairs match. If Strowman wins, he receives a Universal Championship match at the Royal Rumble, and Corbin will be stripped of all authoritative power. If Corbin wins, he will become the full-time general manager of Raw.
Yes.
Full stipulation of that match.
Brock Lesnar, or not Brock Lesnar.
Braun Strowman's going to show up, and either he's going to win, or Ginger Ref, dude, Heath Slater is going to just pull a repeat of what we saw on Monday.
Yeah. So
actually, like, be victorious in it.
The Heath Slater thing is a weird wrinkle because that feels like it's set up for a longer storyline.
Sure.
That requires Baron Corbin to still be.
Sure, yeah.
And
Heath Slater was a main eventer
yes.
on Raw.
Yes, he was.
Congrats to him.
So a lot of this, like, oh, he might not come out because he's still injured. Mm-hmm. And part of it was like, yeah, but he can do one clothesline and, you know, 6 second defeat of Baron Corbin.
And he doesn't even have to climb a ladder.
Right. Because it's a TLC match that's going to end in a pin.
Yep.
Or a forfeit.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm still going to say Braun Strowman. Yep. I feel like he's obviously the step up
right.
next in line and to face Brock Lesnar.
Right. And that's the bigger, I think that's the bigger thing that they're going to try to get to rather than, you know, have any interest in furthering a Baron Corbin storyline. It's more of like, we need to get Braun Strowman to Royal Rumble as the number one contender.
Right.
So yeah, I'm saying Baron Corbin.
Now,
and I'm also thinking shenanigans because Kurt Angle hasn't been around. You know, he's been very quiet in the last couple weeks.
So. I do want to remind you that we did have the, if Shane McMahon beats The Undertaker, he gets to be GM of SmackDown. He lost and then got to be GM of SmackDown anyway.
Sure.
Because as Vince McMahon said, what the hell? So under
all that build up only to be like, ah, what the hell?
Under what the hell stipulations, it doesn't matter that Braun Strowman has to win this match.
I always forget about the what the hell clause. Never did find out those secrets.
Nope, we don't know what the secrets are in the stupid lockbox. What was Triple H going to say to Shawn Michaels the night he retired?
Oh my, it just feels like a J.J. Abrams movie. And then we got the Intercontinental Championship match, Seth versus Dean. I could see Dean winning it.
I think Dean's going to win it.
Yeah.
This is the match after the women's match. The women's match I want to be amazing and take 3 hours. Yeah. Mm-hmm. After that, this is the match that I want to be just a long, really good match between two guys. These two guys have it in them. We've seen it done before. They're going to put on a really impressive match. It's the first time we get to see them in these roles.
Yeah.
So I'm very much looking forward to that. I think
because I remember, I think it was 2014, that Hell in a Cell against the two of them. And it was all over the place and it was chaotic, but I loved it. I loved it a lot.
No, it was pretty incredible.
So I'm expecting, even though it was I think it was a lumberjack match that they had, I think like, maybe SummerSlam or something. I think it was one of the, might have been Survivor Series, but it was like a lumberjack match that was just nuts.
Yeah,
and I loved it. Like I think at one point they were literally carrying Seth through the crowd to get him back to the ring or something like that. Or maybe I'm just dreaming all that up. But I just remember it was chaos, but it was fantastic chaos.
They had some great stuff right after the Shield breakup.
Yeah,
going back and forth, and again, yeah, this is the first time we get to see them with their role switched, and so I think they're going to put on something incredible this
with
week.
Bane Dean? Dean Bane? Dean Bane sounds good. Yeah.
Okay. Are you just talking about his jacket?
I mean, he literally had a jacket and a mask that first time.
All right.
Come on. He was trying to talk through the mask. I think it was a little bit more than subtle.
All right. Fine. Somebody finally watched The Dark Knight Rises.
Somebody in WWE.
Well, that's like when Sting started doing the Joker in 2012.
True.
And you're like, what?
Because what, Dark Knight was 2008?
Eight. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe someone finally got around to seeing Dark Knight Rises. I was just waiting for Dean to, you know, just have everyone.
I like the idea that it's Vince and like he can only watch stuff when it comes on USA with commercials. So it's like whatever Batman pops up, like,
what a character. What a genie character, pal.
Everybody's standing back and like, that's the worst Bane. Nobody tell him. He's literally a lucha wrestler. Nobody tell him.
Oh, man. Because, I mean, otherwise, I think Braun Strowman could be the 1997 Bane.
Bane, Bane, Bane?
Bane, Bane, Bane.
That was a wrestler. I don't remember who played him, but it was.
It was a wrestler. I forget. I was just waiting for, you know, Dean to demand that everybody take control.
All right. Do you have anything else this week?
No, I think that's it.
Run long. All right.
Let's end this thing.
As always, you can follow us on Twitter @CRAttire, where we live tweet all appropriate times, one of which is this Sunday. Yep. We'll live tweet some TLC, so join us there at CR Attire.
And if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up with the show, if you have ideas on who we should or what we should vote for our classies coming up in a couple weeks, send all that to our email. That's classroomingattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes. Easy way to follow a podcast. Give us a rating of
5 stars.
Or write a review. Doing that kind of stuff helps out the podcast as far as metrics go in iTunes.
Yep. And if you're listening to us on InsidePulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
We're also on Facebook. Easy way to follow Chris. Easy way to follow myself. See what other kind of things we're working on.
Yep.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.